Good morning, or almost good afternoon now. Thank you very much for coming to this session. I hope that the results that we will present you today will be interesting, and I'm looking forward to discussion, because this is pretty much preliminary results that we are getting in ongoing work on body mass, physical activity, and future care needs within the ESHCU framework. And this is a joint work with Julian Forda and Katerina Gusia. So basically, the motivation for this paper is coming from two points. The obesity has become a world epidemic, and not only in the developed countries, but throughout the world. And in the UK, it has been on the rise since 1980s. This graph shows the prevalence of obesity from 1993. And by 2013, it has reached staggering 25%. Almost equal between males and females. And the Foresight report projects further growth in obesity up to 50% for females and 60% for males in the year 2050. So we have used to hear about... it times itself... I haven't put it, but we sort of are used to think about obesity as a health bomb, as it is associated with the development of long-term conditions such as mental health, liver disease, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, musculoskeletal diseases, and others. And the the differences in the likelihood of developing those diseases between normal weight people and obese people are quite striking. For example, an obese woman is 13 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes compared to a normal weight woman, and 5 times more likely to develop coronary heart disease. So the resulting NHS costs attributable to overweight and obesity are projected to reach £10 billion pounds by 2050, with a wider cost to society estimated to reach $50 billion per year, according to the same Foresight report. The NHS costs obviously include the direct costs related to those diseases, and the wider costs include also absence from work, morbidity not treated in the health service, and reduction in the quality of life. Can the health bomb actually turn into the care bomb, as the people who are... Because these numbers, which I showed you here, are for people 16-plus, so it's kind of moving, the prevalence of obesity is kind of moving further through the age distribution. So can the health bomb turn into care bomb as there are more and more elderly who would require long-term care and most importantly, maybe more expensive formal and institutional care, they reach this stage being obese. In addition to the, well, this is kind of obvious, and most of the reports which calculate the cost of obesity, obesity-related health costs, they are estimating these costs from the corresponding diseases, long-term diseases. However, in addition to this, severe obesity may lead to severe difficulties inhibiting activities of daily living, which may require costly housing adaptations or specialist care for housebound people, or provision of appropriate transport and facilities. There are some studies which indicate that it is much more difficult to handle, for example, incontinence in the nursing home setting with obese people. However, these studies are quite small scale, so I don't know if well, maybe would require further investigation into this. In addition to this, the socioeconomic status obesity gradient, which has been documented, and ethnic differences in obesity can be contributing to increasing inequality in health and social care, which also increases wider cost for the society of obesity. So our research question in this paper is to study, to investigate the impact of obesity on the use of various care modes in the future, in addition to its impact through the long-term conditions. So we want to stay away from this, we want to control for this and investigate whether there is a remaining effect of weight status on the use of care in the future. In addition, we would like to see whether physical activity play a role in the future care use, as this may be a very important public health issue that may be used in order to decrease costs of care in the future. So the literature on BMI and long-term care use is quite scarce. In fact, so far we have found like three studies which take BMI explicitly into account as a determinant of care needs. All this evidence comes from the United States, and it is mixed. For example, one study by Ziza et al. In 2002, they find that the obesity, the BMI care gradient, care they use nursing home admissions only, is U-shaped with both underweight and and obese adults more likely to be in nursing homes. However, in this particular study, they do not control for the health conditions, thinking that they are mitigating factors, so they want to see the overall effect of obesity. There is another study which looks at the BMI at age 50, at around age 50, so midlife BMI, and its impact on nursing home admissions in later life, at the age of 75 to 85. And so in this study, they control for demographics, control for alcohol and tobacco use, and mental health, physical health, and disability. And so they do find that who are classified as obese, they are at higher risk of being admitted at nursing homes later on in their life. There is another study where no effect of BMI has been found. However, I must tell that this study has been limited to people with mobility impairments, and they also did control for demographics, living arrangement, assistive devices, and ADLs and IADLs. So in our research, we rely on English longitudinal study of aging. We use the 65-plus years old sample because we think that this is the group of people who are most at risk of using care, and in particularly a nursing home and formal care. Formal care we define as social care provided by local authorities. And in some specification, we lump them together with the nursing home because of the number of people in the nursing home care group being too small. We use the overall sample, and then also we reduce the sample to those who are not using any care initially at the baseline, and we look compare at the results between men and women as well. There is a peculiarity in this because we actually cannot use every wave of ELSA for this study because BMI comes from the nurse data, which was only collected at the baseline, which is Health Survey of England data, called wave 0 and wave 2 and wave 4, and we want to look at the transition in care status 2 years down the road. So we take this information from wave 3 and wave 5. So effectively, we are taking two waves of the ELSA data for this study. With respect to methodology, we use multinomial logit for various care needs, because we want to control for non-response and death, because this may be related to the BMI as well. We do the comparison of the impact on two-year transitions to the longer-run impact of variables of interest at the baseline, because we also wanted to know whether people who were at wave zero obese, whether they had, and we control for all the health conditions then, whether they had more higher risk of using any of the care modes down the road over the whole period of the ELSA data. We also explore the importance of obesity in determining future care use after controlling for available health conditions and limitations as well, ADLs, IADLs, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, lung disease, heart disease, stroke, psychic problems, and arthritis. At the baseline in the Health Survey of England, the list of the diseases is much wider, and we use that as well to compare whether there is a significant difference. And as I said already, we also explore the role of physical activity. And actually, when we look at the physical activity, we add other health behavior variables such as alcohol and tobacco use to this specification. The outcomes that we are using are derived from the information on informal care, privately purchased care, social care, and nursing and home care. And I will tell when I talk about the results how we categorized this information for the analysis. And we control for demographic and socioeconomic characteristics. Let me start with the non-parametric evidence. This is the non-parametric estimation of the relationship between receiving care overall, the highest, the blue line is for any care 2 years down the road, and the BMI on the horizontal axis. As you can see, there is a clear U-shape with underweight and obese individuals requiring more care in the future. The most of this care use in the future comes from the informal care use, because when we disaggregate by the type of care, so this green line underneath is the informal care. If we look at, because of the informal care and overall care magnitude, it's hard to see the gradient here, but there is a little bit of the increasing pattern for obese people for social care and private care, but not for for nursing home care. This is just to reiterate. This is for the picture is very similar for impact of BMI at the very beginning of the survey on the care use ever throughout ELSA. So the pattern is similar. And actually, for men and women, this is also a similar picture. The overall sample contains 8,100 individuals, and the distribution of care use is as following. Overall, 27% of the sample used care in 2 year period. Out of that, most of it is 24% is informal care, 3% formal care, privately paid care is 4%, and in those in care home is 1%. This is a bit lower than the national average numbers, but I'll talk about this measure a bit later, raising the concerns about what we've got. So the distribution of the weight, I apologize for this, is The following, the 43% of the sample are overweight and 28% obese. This is higher than the national average, but this is also the elderly population, and I sort of haven't found the corresponding number thus far to compare these. 55% are females, and 42%, quite high number, have no educational qualification, 2% non-white. One thing here, more than quarter are living alone, and 75%, I think quite high number, are owning a home. This is the distribution of the weight status by the care use 2 years down the road, and I must tell that this is coming, these categories are coming from our most preferred specification, so we use a category where individuals are responding and using no care, or responding using informal care, or informal care plus privately purchased care. Formal care, non-response, and those who are dead 2 years down the road. So as you can see, with respect to overweight, we don't see much of a difference across these categories, but there is a gradient in the obesity, relationship with obesity. We can see that people in any care setting have obese people are more likely to be in any of those care settings, with most highest prevalence in informal care compared to those who have no care. This is the distribution of ADL and IADL counts, and this looks also as expected, with highest number of ADL and IADL counts for those in formal care. And again, this is formal care, is social care provided by local authorities plus nursing home. So first, we decided just to sort of mirror the previous research where they didn't control for any of the health conditions. And here what we see without these controls, that only obesity status has a significant impact on increasing any care use in the future. This is the simplest specification where there are three categories: any care in the future, non-response, and death. I don't report the other two, but in all specifications, we control for the other two categories. Obese individuals are almost 1.8 times more likely to use care compared to those who are not obese. If we add controls for ADLs and IADLs, this number goes down a little bit, but I haven't tested whether that's statistically significantly different, but it started moving. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, and then this is the preferred specification where we have three care modes and then non-response and death, and also controlling for health conditions. You can see that the impact is slightly smaller, but still statistically significant for informal care and informal care plus privately purchased care. The impact on formal care is no longer statistically significant, but it is still positive. So when the health behaviors are added, I'm only reporting physical activity here, the impact of obesity stays the same except for the last category, the formal care, and then we see that physical activity has sort of a protective effect on the use of care in the future, with the highest effect being on the formal care. So most of the reduction, it's So people who are physically active are 0.3 times hard to interpret these relative risk ratios, but they are less much less likely to be in formal care setting. So we were puzzled what is going on. We wanted to see what is the obesity status accounting for. If we control for everything, like all possible mechanisms that we can think of, well, then we thought maybe there is a, you know, it's an indicator of some future condition which we haven't picked up. So one obvious candidate was pre-diabetes, and we could use the blood test sample from there to test for this. So I constructed the measure of indicator of pre-diabetes from the glucose test. However, because the sample of those who gave blood test is much smaller, so I decided that I do the regression on the same sample with previous specification. And we can see that the results are slightly different, but then when we add pre-diabetes, the results on obesity and physical activity do not change, and pre-diabetes is not statistically significant. I also had a concern about the measure of our obesity measure, because there is some evidence in the literature that for elderly, it's better to use waist to hip circumference ratio, so that so-called abdominal obesity. And so I tried to do the same here. As you can see, this third specification, what I expected to see by adding abdominal obesity to have no effect of obesity whatsoever, because it's claimed that this is a better measure for elderly. It does drop a bit, but it doesn't disappear. And then to experiment, I dropped all measures of obesity and just left abdominal obesity, and it apparently doesn't change the impact at all. And the physical activity is quite stable across all the specifications. This is the difference in by gender. Basically, only on informal care, females are much more, obese females are much more likely to use informal care in the future than obese males. And the protective effect of physical activity is greater for males than for females. This is the results from the longer-term effect, quite questionable at the moment because they don't correspond directly to the methodology we use for the 2-year transitions. This is, at the moment, a set of several logit regressions for each particular outcome, and I have to investigate why these dropped. I don't know so far. But here, if you look at this informal care, the number is quite close to what we have for the 2-year transitions. So maybe I should stop here and leave everything rest for the discussion. Thank you.
I think this is a big problem. As somebody who has spent a large amount of time in hospitals in the last 2 years, one of the things I have noted is that in hospitals there are a large number of extraordinarily strengthened beds being put in, because hospital beds cannot cope with these people. Therefore, I would presume that care homes would have the same problem. Also, people who are living at home will presumably require additional equipment as well. I mean, I think the other thing that one looks at, if one looks at the health service, is that one finds that conventional equipment like MRI scanners, which I've also spent much time in recent times, are also unable to cope with these people, and you actually have hospitals sending people out to veterinary hospitals and putting them into scanners that are used for cows and horses. Now, this might sound funny, but this is unfortunately true. So the costs of this for the regular healthcare sector are recognised, and one can see data on this. I'm just talking about, like, you can see data on this, and there should be corresponding data coming into either the formal care system, or it ought to come back and work out the at-home care system as well in the end.
Yeah, that would be interesting to get such data. So far, I'm not aware of that. I thought that most of these estimates were actually coming from previous costs. So they know, say, the percentage of these people who would be diabetic or coronary heart disease and so on, and then use average costs of treating such disease in the past.
You can see it as well actually with respect to birth clinics as well, that there is an increase in the number of people who are having non-normal births, including caesarean births, simply because they are overweight. So, I mean, you can actually put it everywhere.
I mean, I think one of the issues is access to care, because people who are obese, because the healthcare system is not well prepared for them, they're less likely to actually use and utilize care, which could be preventive and then have an ongoing impact in terms of further disability.
Yeah, when we looked at relative risk to climate, I think we... but you're right. I mean, there's probably additional costs that are not factored in as well. So, you know, I mean, after relative risk, there is also the fact that the costs of care are probably higher for people. Well, we don't know that. That's speculation, but that might be the case. Probably.
Can we look at the NHS expenditure?
Yeah, no,
so
I agree.
I think this is like a first step to take it further, calculating the costs as well, because this is just to see what is the additional impact on care use by different modes, and then we can add other cost categories too.
I was wondering how physical activity is measured, because I would assume that physical activity has an impact on being overweight or not. Mm-hmm. And so there is some correlation, but obviously it's not that much that this variable is dropped. So how is it measured, and why do you think, or what would be the policy implication? Would you recommend everyone, well, let's do some exercise, and how much exercise needs to be done to have an effect?
Well, thank you for the question. The measure is whether the person is engaged in moderate or more than moderate activity on at least 3 times a week. So that's the measure. And down the road we can play with different measures and see what the difference does it make, because in ELSA it's quite, this data is quite rich compared to what I've seen in other surveys before. So they ask lots of questions about what kind of activity they are engaged and what they're doing. So I would like to explore this further, because this is just the beginning. In terms of the recommendations, last year I've come across the Age UK initiative called Fit as a Fiddle. So actually that was one of my thoughts, that this study may help to sort of try to see what are their costs to run this program, and what is the, say, the effect for elderly in terms of reducing care use, and compare the numbers just to give a flavor of what is the magnitude, whether it's worth it or not.